While we open God's Word together to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We're just looking at one verse, the following verse, John 15 verse 3. We looked last Lord's Day at the second half of verse 1 and verse 2, and now we're on verse 3. The title for the message this morning is The Power of the Word. The power of the Word. And verse 3 reads, Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now ye are clean through the word, or as Calvin translates it, because of the word. Now ye are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. We have six brief points this morning. We want to look at its present power, its personal power, its purifying power, its particular power, its preeminent power, and its proclamational power. So first of all, the power of the word, its present power. It says, now ye are clean through the word. This emphasis of the present reality of the power of the word. It's not something that we are hoping will happen in the future, but there is a present power in the word of God, a power that we can know now, a power that we can feel now. So in John 5, verse 24, the Lord Jesus says, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. There is an immediate present power in the word of God, so that we are not hoping or wishing for something to come, but we are entering into the now of the word. So therefore, even this moment as we listen to this sermon, we can have an immediate sense of the power of the word. Again, John 6, 47. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. So those of us who were raised as Roman Catholics, we were told in that system, in that church, that nobody could ever be sure of eternal life. That was a sinful thing. Yet the Lord Jesus says it is a present reality. Not one day you will be clean. Not one day you will be saved. Not one day you will have everlasting life. But it is the now. We also have that, don't we, in Romans 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace. Not something hoping to have, verse 2 of the same chapter, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So it's a present possession, a present reality. It is a present power. Romans 4, 7, our sins are forgiven and our sins are covered. Present reality. Now ye are clean. It is now ye are clean. The present power of the word. Then, secondly, it's personal power. It's now ye are clean. It is personal to individuals. It's not a general thing. It is a personal thing. So Paul says this in Galatians, doesn't he? In Galatians, speaking of his own testimony, his own experience. In Galatians 2, verses 19 and 20, For I, through the law, by virtue of the word of God, I am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Listen to what he says in verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. I am, personally. I know the power of God personally. I know the power of the Word. It is through the law. It is through the Word of God rightly applied to my soul. So when we see in Romans 7, when the commandment was fully realized, then I died. So again, in this verse in Galatians 2:20, nevertheless, it is not I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. It is a personal power. So therefore we, as personal, individual people, need to know that power. It's not enough to have a collective sense or a theoretical or theological acceptance of these facts. We must have a personal experience. And because it is in the now, we must know it personally now. Not leave it off. You know, when some of the Jews said to Paul, we will hear you again on this matter. We'll put it off to another time. No, as the apostle said to the Corinthians, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Have a desire for that personal power of the Word even now, this moment. Cry out to God, Lord, bring this power to my soul now. For that is the purpose of God, that we experience His power and the power of His Word now, this moment. Calvin, it's the only quote actually I have this morning, so Calvin comments on this. It is a remarkable statement that believers live out of themselves. That is, they live in Christ, which can only be accomplished by holding real and actual communication with Him. Christ lives in us in two ways, he says. The one life consists in governing us by His Spirit and directing all our actions. The other in making us partakers of His righteousness, so that while we can do nothing of ourselves, we are accepted in the sight of God. The first relates to regeneration. The second, to justification by free grace. The point is this that I want to emphasize from Calvin's quote. In order for us to be confident that we have been justified now, we have to feel the reality of it now. There must be regeneration. There must be, as we'll see later on this evening, God willing, an abiding in Christ, a Christ abiding in us, bearing fruit, which is all from regeneration. Born again, there's a new life. It has begun, not that we are working towards something, but there's a new life in us. We who were dead in trespasses and sins have been made alive together with Christ and in Him. So it's a present power, firstly. Secondly, it's a personal power. So if you're struggling this morning even to worship God, repent of that. Repent of the sin of not being enlivened with the glory of the gospel, with the glory of the power of the gospel. Cry out to God that you might know the power of His salvation. For it is a personal power. Then thirdly, it's purifying power. It's purifying power. Now ye are what? Clean. There's a cleansing power in the Word. That's why, brethren, it's so important to be daily reading the Word of God. and read it out loud, even on your own. Read the Word of God. You know, it says in Psalm 142, I cried unto the Lord. With my voice, I cried unto the Lord. Read the Word out. Pray out loud. Read out loud. Purifying power of the Word. There's actually three verses in John's Gospel which give different aspects to this. Back in chapter 13 and verse 10, the Lord Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And in verse 10, he says to them, or says to him, to Peter, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. That's the illustration. The illustration in John 13 and verse 10. Then we have the intercession in John 17, verse 17. The Lord Jesus going to the cross in his high priestly prayer prays, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So illustration, John 13, verse 10. Intercession, John 17, 17. And now in our present text, declaration. I couldn't think of a third eye. Declaration. Declaration. Now ye are clean. So Christ illustrates our cleansing. He prays for our cleansing. And he declares our cleansing. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? To me, it shows the divine nature of the Word. When you see these, you know, things coming together in a book like John's Gospel, you just see that it's the divine Word of God. It's not just a few scattered thoughts, random religious writings. This is the divine Word of God. This is God showing us in different ways and different aspects what it is to be clean and to be cleansed by His Word. It's purifying power. Then fourthly, it's particular power. It is now ye are clean through the Word. Or as we've said already, because or by means of the Word. The Word is the instrumental cause of our spiritual cleansing. And that's why if we're struggling in our lives, again, we come back to the point, if we are not walking in holiness, how much time are we spending in the Word of God? If we're not experiencing the present, personal, purifying power of the Word, how much time are we spending in it? The Word is the cause, the instrumental cause of our spiritual cleansing. It's what God uses to clean us, and it's what we must use to clean us. So in Psalm 119 and verse 9, we read the question, wherewithal or how shall a young man cleanse his way? The answer, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Another verse, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. How much, practically speaking, is the Word of God involved in our daily life? So somebody has said that the Word will keep us from sin, and sin will keep us from the Word. In Ephesians 5, verse 25, when the husbands are exhorted how to love their wives. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by The Word. It's the Word that sanctifies. It's the Word that cleanses. So the devil will do all he can to keep us from the Word. He will do all he can to keep us from the Word. Remember in Acts 6, we're going through the book of Acts on Friday nights. And remember in Acts 6, when the apostles, when the issue comes up about the widows not being looked after, from the Hellenist section of the church. And the conclusion and the important principles that the apostles lay down is that it's not appropriate for them to leave the word and prayer in order to serve tables. The two most important things, the ministry of the word and prayer, because these are the very foundation and life blood of our sanctity and salvation. So Christ washes us by the word, that he might present us to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The word of God is the instrumental means that Christ uses to achieve the ends of his saving work. So if you remove the word of God from your life, you are removing the instrumental means whereby Christ saves you and sanctifies you. It's gone. So in John 16, the Lord Jesus says that the Spirit, even the Spirit of God, will not speak on his own, but will use the Word of God in order to speak to us. So Peter, in 1 Peter 1, verses 22 and 23, 1 Peter 1, verses 22 and 23, says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth." You purify your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. You see, it's the word of God that is the power. It's the word of God that is the means. This word of God, as Peter tells us, which liveth and abideth forever. So it's the word's particular power here. I mean, think about this. The Lord Jesus Christ is standing physically among them. And yet he doesn't, and I say this reverently, he doesn't point to himself, but to the word that he spoke. Now ye are clean through the word. So having the word of Christ, and using the word of Christ, it's the instrumental means of our salvation and our sanctification. And then fifthly, its preeminent power. Wherein lies its power? It's now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken. Which I have spoken. It is powerful because it is the word of Christ. It is his word. So when Paul, writing to the Colossians, in Colossians 3, verse 16, he exhorts them, he said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." You see, the key and the secret to happiness and blessedness in the Christian life brings us time and time again back to the simple meditation and application of the Word of God. We all make the foolish error repeatedly that we think we've learned enough, and we forget that the Word of God is first and foremost not an academic instrument to fill our head with knowledge, but to fill our souls with God. That's the purpose of the Word. To fill our souls with God. To fill our hearts with Christ. Because knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. We are to be built up. We are to be builded and built up by the presence of Christ, the presence of God in our souls, by the ministry and instrumental means of the Word of Christ. So, the Lord Jesus criticizes and condemns the Jews in John 5, 39 and 40 for being students of the Word but never coming to Him by virtue of the Word. So search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me, and ye will not come to Me that ye might have life. They missed Christ in the Scriptures. They missed the power, that which is the whole point of the Scriptures, is to lead us and to usher us in to the presence and a relationship with Christ. That's the whole point of the Word of God, to bring us to Him, to lead us to Him, so that He might be in us and we might be in Him in a saving and sanctifying way. Its preeminent power is Christ. And then, lastly, its proclamational power. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That's why we believe in preaching. There's a power in the word proclaimed. There's an authority. There's a sanctifying power in the proclamation of the Word of God. So at the end of Mark's Gospel, the very closing verses, turn with me there, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, very closing words of the Lord Jesus to His disciples. Mark 16 verse 15. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and do what? Preach, proclaim, declare the gospel to every creature. This act of proclamation, this act of preaching, this act of declaring the gospel is the means by which God would save the world. The Lord Jesus says in verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. There is a personal responsibility. Once the Word of God is proclaimed, once the Word of God is preached, we are responsible to apprehend, to take hold of the promises as they are contained in the gospel, and to believe them, to rest our souls upon the proclaimed Word of God. And then in verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, sat on the right hand of God. And look at verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere. They just went all through the world preaching the gospel everywhere they could. Then we have a wonderful clause in verse 20. Look what it says. The Lord working with them. The Lord working with them. Listen, when we commit ourselves to the preaching and to the proclamation of the gospel as it is revealed to us in the Word of God, we will have the Lord working with us. The proclamational power of the Word of God. And that's why one more scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy and chapter 3. And again, I remind you of the danger of chapter divisions. Because in 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, Paul says to Timothy, exhorts Timothy as a pastor. Timothy's a pastor. Paul is a pastor and is exhorting him here. Continue thou, 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. In other words, Timothy, you will never get to the point of being so learned that you won't have to continue in them. In fact, in chapter 4, we see that Paul is exhorting Timothy to bring the books and the parchments. Paul's at the very end of his life and he's still learning. There's no prospect of getting out of prison. He's not going to get out of prison. But he's going to learn till the day he dies. He's going to continue himself in these things till the day he dies because he needs the Word of God. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, truly furnished unto all good works. And again, forget the chapter division, because it continues. I charge thee therefore, because of what I've just said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. What you're going to be judged on, Timothy, have you committed yourself to the proclamation of the word, to the continuing in of that word, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation? Verse 2, preach the word. Preach the word. Commit yourself to the proclamation of the word. Why? Because that's where the power is. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why, Timothy? Because a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Listen, in the modern day, the problem is not so much, in the context of these verses, is not so much that false teachers exist. They only exist because the people want them to exist. That's what this verse says. They gather to themselves. The false teachers exist because people want them. They want them to speak smooth things to them. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Never leave the word of God, Timothy. Never depart from the power, the proclamational power of the word of God. Now, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Closing application. First of all, believe in the word for its personal, present, and purifying power. Two, believe only in the word in this way. As Spurgeon said, visit other books, but live in the Bible. Three, seek it as the word of Christ. and seek Christ in the Word. Look for Him in the Word, in every page, as looking for hidden treasure. And lastly, as a church, may we never cease to teach and preach this Word to the glory of God, for the good of our souls and the salvation of the lost. May God help us. Stand for prayer. Father, help us, we pray, and enable us, O God, never to leave the divinely ordained means that Thou hast given to us as a church, so that we would be committed and devoted to Thy truth, to Thy word, knowing that outside of this there is absolute danger to our souls, but there is safety, there's a stronghold within the confines of Thy word. Now are we clean through the word which Christ has spoken to us. We thank Thee, Lord, for the power of the word. May it be applied to each one of us by the power of the Spirit for the honor of Christ. Bless us now as we turn to the Lord's table. Help us in the Savior's name. Amen.